Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gentle Intensity Radio with Shaheen Jedian, the magical mentor and author of Divine Prescription for Life bestseller, co-host with Chicken Soup for the Soul, 500 million bestseller, and creative collaborator of Glee Hugo and Spider-Man. On air now, as Shaheen Jedian takes you on a hot journey of spirit and heart healing, breaking through the deepest fears while unleashing your life's meaning and purpose. With his gentle intensity touch, unlock your future now with the greatest speakers as you walk out of your tight spots in life and come to fruition. Red hot takes and honest opinions on ancient wisdom for modern times with the greatest meaningful celeb show on earth. Let's welcome Shaheen Jedian and his guest today.
Yes. You know, we've all heard that the unexamined life is not worth living. But consider, too, that the unlived life is not worth examining. This is a quote from Julia Cameron. The success of a creative recovery hinges on our ability to move out of the head and into action. This thing brings us squarely to risk. Most of us are practiced at talking ourselves out of risk. We're skilled speculators on the probable pain of self-exposure. This means we avoid risk, unquote. So I think that's a powerful piece to today's talk in terms of really delving into action while we're really connecting with streams of consciousness, because consciousness with action becomes powerful, it becomes linked, it becomes integrated, it removes fragmentation. And being that we're heading towards the full moon of Aries, it's a time of action, time of movement, time of spring cleaning, time of new material to come in, letting go of the old. And so unless you heal things, really at this time, it's also powerful. Unless you heal things with your family and whatever that is inside yourself, they don't necessarily have to be here. It could be your family that lives in your inner dynamics. You project your unfinished business onto everything that is current in your life, relationships, career, health, finance, everything. We're projecting all the time. And since perception is projection, to begin to heal, we need to really heal from within so that our projections can shift to a higher space. Now, the truth is you never really grow up until you make peace with your family, which is really interesting because we can be living and dying and never make peace with that and never fully grow up. The bottom line is you can't carry grievances forever. You can't. You just can't carry grievances and find peace. You can't attack and love at the same time. You can't be a victim and be happy at the same time. So, you know, going through that, as I'm taking a deep breath, letting more of that in, releasing more of self-attack, and knowing that it's never too late to make peace with your family, even dead family members. A family is not just for life, it's forever. So remember, your family lives in your heart. So making peace with your heart, your family goes wherever you go. Thus, the greatest gift you can give yourself is to forgive and let go of all family grievances. Now, that's easy to say. And forgiveness is not forgetting. It's really a clearing of your energy, of deciding to be. It's a true test of maturity to say, love means more to me than any grievances I have about you. Because it's really a decision of falling in love with your life and yourself. So today, just be willing to thank yourself and your family for the option of the ability to be able to forgive. If you're not ready for that, that's okay too. There's a process to it all. But at least knowing there is a space that we're heading towards is helpful. And that it's to your own benefit. It's a selfish thing. To let go and forgive is actually a selfish thing to do, which is good for us. Now, you know, we can focus sometimes on giving away pain for love, giving away conflict for freedom. It's especially this month, giving away anger for peace, giving away old stuff for something new, something better. It's your move, it's your choice. And since your grievances hold you back with that self-attack, the thing to know is that grievances often seem justified at the time, but ultimately they cost too much, they're not worth it, because the upkeep is way beyond what we can do, and they cannot give you what you really want. So in my sessions with myself and so many people, I've come to experience that when I've counseled people with terrible abuse, torture, rape, abandonment, betrayal, all sorts of injustice, and still I would say that no grievances is worth holding on to because it hasn't done justice to the body or the mind. No grievances. However, you think, however you justify it, it's not worth the pain, the hate, the fear you have to carry in the black bags. They just cost too much. Grievances cost too much to carry. They're not worth giving up your freedom for. So a grievance, in essence, is, I think the best way to say it is when your ego hijacks your mind, takes you to hell, demands a ransom, and leaves you there anyway. It's so sad. I know, we've been through it all. Now there you are, kidnapped by your own ego, sitting in hell, hoping the bitch or the bastard or that bad person, which is the cause of the grievance, ends up in hell. The great hope is that you can both live unhappily ever after. And revenge is not victory. It's not freedom. It's not clever. So every grievance is an attack on yourself, really. Carrying a grievance is like carrying a grenade that blows up every few seconds in your own mind. And you're armed and you're dangerous, you know, and you're just cloaked in hate. So your own worst enemy. And so as I kind of meditate with you to let go of something that's not helping you anymore, I am at the same time excited to bring on my friend Masha, who is going to talk about raw beauty, streams of consciousness, and relationships with music. She's also going to talk about memories of the future and how to really look at her experience of consciousness. And I'm excited to bring her on. I will invite her in a minute to share with us and to, more importantly, be with us. So here we are. Hi, Masha.
Hi, Shah.
Hello, I can hear you very well right now.
Okay, so I think I wanted to be able to share a little bit about streams of consciousness and why they're so important to me. So this has been a passion of mine for a really long time, since I was 17. If I were to explain what it is me sitting right now on my couch connecting with you, and I will be creating something right now at this moment. So I will be recollecting on things, and I will be very, very honest as to what is coming up. So
yes.
What's interesting about streams of consciousness is it's pure creation and it's new to you. I realize that I'm not a good person who just tells stories. I'm not a good storyteller, but I'm a really good creator. I'm a really good explorer. So for me, this is an opportunity to explore with you right at this moment is what is happening with me. And
yes,
some thoughts will start entering this space from your side, from my side, and we're going to see what's entering. And the important part of all of this is the ultimate state of vulnerability. And the reason for it is because you don't know what is going to come. It may be silence. It may be an image. It may be a word. It may be a number. It may be anything. And I think it's really, really important to be able to welcome all of this and to connect with it and see where it goes. So that's kind of a number one piece that comes.
Yes.
So as I was listening to Shaw talk about the family and the grievances and letting all of that go, I couldn't help but start thinking about my family, which I have none left of.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I know that the relationship with my parents, who died 3 years ago, continues.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never really lose anything in this lifetime, because you know that all of what exists is a part of you. And so my relationship with my parents keeps going. And so that's something that comes in, and I see my mom's face. And I see my father's face, and I see my dad walking down the street, and his shoe is torn a little bit. So now I'm like going into this imagery, and you know, I'm starting to feel some pain from it because I lost them, and at the same time, some sweet love towards them. So this is where you know, I want to be able to say a few words about the soul and how the soul. So what I found out with myself is that the soul pays attention to really, really subtle things. So it's never about information for it. It's about some quiet time with someone. It's about holding someone's hand. It's about one word in a conversation that will just penetrate the rest of you, and you will remember this for the rest of your life. The soul is a very subtle phenomenon, but at the same time, it's a very powerful phenomenon. I think Shaw will agree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it can create amazing things, and it can create such big impact, but at the same time, it's just, it does it through subtlety. You'd agree, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, you got cut off. What'd you say?
No, I was just asking you if you agree with me.
Yes, yes. I'm really enjoying it.
So, and I'm always exploring the side of things where, you know, where you can come across subtlety. And, you know, as an artist, it's a very important thing for me to realize that I don't know anything at all. And so I just have to trust this very, very small feelings that come in, very, very quiet feelings, and see where they go. And so right now I felt a little bit of, you know, a little hesitation. I'm like, I asked Shy a question and he didn't quite connect with me or something like this, and he was just listening.
Love that,
to me.
Yeah.
And I lost it a little bit, and I want to open up to the audience that how you feel when you lose something, because this is where, you know, this is the exploration into the streams of consciousness comes in. So you kind of unfold the reality. You admit, yes, you know what, I felt hesitant. So you don't try to hide it. You don't try to appear an expert, but you show that you lost it a little bit. And then you're just hoping that something else will come in, and you would have some idea or you would have some feeling, and then you can talk about it further. And I think it's very important to acknowledge these moments rather than hide them, because that allows other people to recognize themselves in you and therefore connect with you better. So
I love that ability, by the way, that I've noticed in you, to be able to be as much as you can in that space of being vulnerable, being in the not knowing, in the unknown, and at the same time being in the area of receiving information to move forward. I think to be in both spaces is a rare thing, and I've seen that in you, and I really enjoy learning from you in that zone.
Thank you very much. And then the type of information that does come into this vulnerable space, it's you know, it's a different type of information. So it could be suddenly a song. And then you can kind of start feeling that it's building up in you because you are open. So it's really, really important to remain open, to let life enter you. And this is really huge. And so in this moment, you will start feeling something, you know, kind of brewing inside you because you're open. And it doesn't matter if you're on the radio or at an important presentation. It doesn't matter where you are. You are here, and you're open to life, and it will create something through you right now. So when I was a child, I was very, very interested, not in the performance part, but I wanted to know the kitchen. I wanted to know what is behind the scenes of life, and I wanted to always, now I want to show the people what's really going through my mind, what is behind all of the facades and all that kind of stuff, all of my behind my facade. So I want to be able to use this space as an opportunity to create something new, and maybe Shah will co-create with me, and you know, also share some of, you know, my stuff that I've, you know, written before, let's say some poetry, and see how different things just come together and some music appears. And it doesn't have to be consistent. It doesn't have to be linear. It's just one person sharing themselves as they are feeling and as, you know, their thinking and feeling comes through them. And I hope it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to ask me something? Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, keep going. It's great. We're listening.
Okay, so I think at this point I really
I mean,
want
I have questions to ask
read.
You. I have interactions and questions for you if you want. I can, like, for example, I wanted to know what you mean more when you talk about making sense of the beauty of life or raw expression of life. When you talk about loving the moment when you hear words inside your head.
Okay.
The birth of something new that's filled with energy, and also what you mean by the project of memories of the future, and
yeah,
some of your latest.
So if I were to talk about beauty, this is what I realized, that beauty to me is when I suddenly feel rich with energy, like filled up with energy. Let's say I'm looking at something and suddenly I have this surge of energy coming through me. So that is beautiful. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if it's, like, you know, symmetrical and it's a beautiful, or it's a beautiful face, or it's a whatever. It doesn't matter. It can be, you know, a bird moved or flew over a river, or it could be somebody just felt quiet suddenly, or they got embarrassed. But, and at this moment, I'm suddenly filled with energy. And so that is the indication of beauty to me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So
yes.
With Memories of the Future, it's a very cool project that we recently started and did a first part of it in Harvard Westlake School, where there were only six of us, and, you know, several students and two adults. And there we went to this very energy-rich place, and we just started throwing some words out and some numbers out and some art. You know, we're discussing my art and started throwing out musical compositions. And all of that started accumulating into this beautiful piece, and we started feeling connected to one another because all of these different products are products of our soul, which means our intuition is involved. And so Memories of the Future is this ability to hear the music of life. Because if you hear a good idea, for example, we always say it sounds great, right? We always use the word sound. And this means that we're actually picking up on something very musical out there. It doesn't matter whether it's a drawing or an actual musical composition or just a word, it sounds great to us. So that means it's music, it's of musical nature. And so when you bring up all these different ideas that sound great, you end up with a symphony. So all of these different people can now hear this beautiful symphony. So it's right in our reach, but you have to be really honest with yourself that it does sound great to you. So you can't lie to yourself. You have to be able to, you know, really admit, yes, this sounds good, and this sounds not so good, and this sounds great, and I'm going to go for great. And in terms of children, I want to say that it's really important, and if there are parents out there that are listening, it's really, really important to, for us adults and to help our children to always stick to plan A in our lives, to what sounds great, not to what sounds marketable, not to what sounds, you know, that you would make money with it, but to do something that sounds wonderful to you. If it is that you want to do music, or if it is that you want to write, it doesn't matter what it is. It just has to elate you. It has to excite your soul. And then the money will come as a result. We'll just add to it. So, and I'm sorry, I'm talking probably too fast because I, you know, I'm get excited about that. So that's the beauty, and the beauty is everywhere, of course.
Okay. So, what do you, as we're coming, we have about like 7-8 minutes to the completion of our talk. How would you like to be more involved with those listening to you right now? What offer or connection or gift do you have for them? And also, what do you enjoy doing with the people that are receiving this loving conversation between us, right?
I think the most important thing that I can offer people is this ability to explore their own inner world. And why it is so important is because there is no external world. External world shows up from inner world. So it's kind of grows out of it. So my friends used to say we are, you know, growing inside out. So this connection to, you know, your internal life stream, the stream of thinking, the stream of feeling to your heart, creates products. And there's no other way to create a beautiful painting or a beautiful song or to be a great doctor, but to be a very connected individual first and foremost. So if you want to explore your inner world as it is versus as how you can pretend it to be, then there are some raw products that spring out of you, and they resonate with a lot of people. So, and you may not realize it once, because you may want to look good, but actually looking not so good is much more powerful and creates a much better product. And that's the truth. That's how I see it.
I have an excerpt from your writings. You say, Masha, you say, I wake up in the morning to experience this feeling over and over again, how something new continuously entering me, changing me, discovering me, filling me up with new energy, giving it new colors, new feeling, new shape, new music. And no so-called perfection can ever come to this richness. And I thought that was
nothing.
Really, really profound.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so,
just like you're kind of standing naked in front of life. Are we short on time? Are we done with time? How are we on time?
We have 4 minutes, so you can continue to tell me
I would like to read one of the poems that I wrote.
Yes,
and
please.
This is a poem in Russian, and I would really like to read something in my native language because I noticed recently that I've been encountering people who are, for some reason, because we are in America, who are embarrassed of really speaking their language because they feel like, you know, nobody would understand it. But I
also your poem to share at the end in English. So let me know how you want to manage that also.
Yeah, I think we should do both. I think I should read a Russian one right now so that you can hear me live, and then you
okay,
know, there will be a recording as well of the English one.
So, we'll
complete
the show. Sounds good.
Perfect. And I just want to be able to show people that, you know, please share your native language. Please share your native voice, because it's really, really important and people can recognize the value. So here's the poem. Ну вот мы и вернулись в никуда. Холодные цветы, поля, холодная красивая звезда. И путь мой тоже в никуда. Ну вот мы и вернулись в тишину. Я отрицаю вновь твою вину. Ты отрицаешь то, что холода пробрались в нас на чужды нам всегда. Я жду чего-то, я чего-то жду, что, может быть, я в холоде найду звезду любви, которая права только в одном, что без нее провал. И светит в этом нашем никуда любви волшебная зовущая звезда, которой все равно, куда идти, и все открыты и легки пути.
Great. The beauty of not knowing what you're saying in the language is that I'll pick up what I feel from the tone by itself. So that's beautiful. I'm going to play The Caged Bird by Masha. And
it's actually Maya Angelou. That's the lyrics, but I just read it. Yeah.
Is The Caged Bird translation of this one that you just said, or is that different?
No, Caged Bird is a famous poem by Maya Angelou. And I just read it. I just really like that.
Oh, you're reading. Okay. All right. I thought maybe there's a relationship between them. Okay. Okay, I'm going to play that right now.
So thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wing in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird sings of another breeze, and the trade winds soft through the sighing trees, and the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams, his shadow shouts on a nightmare scream, his wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom.
And so to complete the show, I'm going to say that when we're focused on the process, our creative life retains a sense of adventure. It's by Julia Cameron. Focused on the product, the same creative life can feel foolish or barren. We inherit the obsession with product and the idea that art produces finished product, our consumer-oriented society. This focus creates a great deal of creative block. We, as working artists, may want to explore a new artistic area, but we don't see where it will get us. We wonder if it will be good for our career. Fixated on the need to have something to show for our labors, we often deny our curiosity. Every time we do this, we are blocked. Once again, my name is Shaheen Jedian, and welcome to the Inscription of Life. This has been a wonderful time being with you. Join me on Thursday between 11 to 1 p.m. for an extra. And thank you again to Masha.